In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. Cross-cultural exchanges can often be a tricky thing. Clearly, what is accepted behavior in one culture can be perceived as something inappropriate in another culture. What may be interpreted as a gesture of friendship or kindness in one place may be seen as an offensive gesture elsewhere. I'll never forget a situation that took place in my life some years ago. One of my good friends from college married a woman from India named Shampa. It's John and Shampa is the couple which I'll refer to. And from the moment that Shampa met Maria, they instantly became fast friends and became very close and are to this day. And John and Shampa and Maria and I were all engaged at the same time. Our marriage dates were about 4 months apart. And the first few years of our marriage, we lived somewhat close to each other, at least a few counties away from each other, and we would spend time together. So one time during the summer, we met up and we went to the beach for a day. And upon returning, we were emptying the car trunk of its belongings and all of the trip to the beach. And I noticed that there was a pair of shoes in the trunk of the car, a pair of sandals. And I reached down and grabbed what were Shampa's sandals. And I looked up and saw a horrified look on her face. And I knew certainly I had done something, had crossed some cultural bounds or something. And I immediately asked what I did and asked, is it the shoes? Because that's the only thing I could think of. And she just nodded her head without saying anything. And I quickly put down the shoes and she thanked me and picked up the shoes herself. And I quickly learned that in her culture, a man never touches a woman's shoes. It's a good thing that that was never a huge offense that took place, that she recognized it was my ignorance. In fact, we saw them over this past summer, and she took great delight in telling the story to my children and describing the embarrassed look on my face when I had picked up her shoes. So she enjoys telling the story to this day. But I'm sure all of us have had various experiences like that where we don't know how to quite figure out what's going on here. We find that something's going on and we're not getting it. And certainly the scriptural record is filled with many human encounters, cultural exchanges that take place all over its pages. But because we are half a world away, and because there is a 2 millennium time gap that separates us from them, and because we perhaps are ignorant of the cultures in which the scriptural world takes place, we often don't recognize the cultural exchanges that take place in the pages of Scripture. And such is the case in the gospel passage today about the Samaritan woman, who's known as Saint Photini in church tradition, which means the enlightened one. In this passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus clearly steps beyond what is the accepted cultural boundary, the cultural norms. And let's face one thing. The truth about culture is a human thing. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just a human part of our existence. It's not a divine thing, it's not something God creates per se. And because culture is a human thing, human culture, like human individuals, has good and has bad points. And that's just the way it is. And Jesus came into this earth and he was completely free. Free to step outside the bounds of cultural limitations, especially limitations that could be perceived by him to be negative, especially cultural limitations that were in fact limiting the work of God. So what we witness here is a bold encounter with Jesus, a bold encounter between Jesus and this woman, because this woman is, in fact, beyond three boundaries. In a sense, she's a triple outcast, if you will. And Jesus, by speaking with her, he brings the grace of redemption to her. He demonstrates what is truly astounding, and it truly demonstrates the great mercy of God. First of all, recognize this woman was a Samaritan. St. John, even in his text, explains very clearly, makes the parenthetical statement, Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He wants us to understand very clearly, the readers of his gospel, to understand that what is taking place here is truly unusual. It is true, Samaritans and Jews did not deal with one another. Samaritans had a common heritage historically, but over the years they had intermarried with Gentiles. And thus, in the eyes of the first century Jew, they were heretics. They were dogs. They had sullied the lineage and they had perverted the faith, diluted the faith. So that's the first barrier. She's a Samaritan. And Jesus isn't put off by that. He's still willing to engage her. The second barrier is she's a woman. And let's face the clear reality. In this time and place, it was clearly a patriarchal society with all of its negative biases. Certainly in this context, a man would never speak to a woman in public. It's completely outside the scope of what happened. Much less a woman that was unknown to him. That was completely outside the scope of what happened in their society. And the third aspect that has to be recognized is this woman had a questionable past, a sinful history. She had had five husbands, and she lived with her current boyfriend. And if it's not clear immediately to you that that created an air of sinfulness about her, that she was, in a sense, an outcast in her own community, then recognize this detail in the story. She comes to draw water at what time of day? At high noon. And recognize, no one drew water at noon because it was the heat of the day. Everyone had to gather at the well at some point because it's an arid climate. The well is the watering hole. You have to go there to get your water. So people would gather at the well at different times, but not at noon. Why was this woman there at noon? For exactly that reason, because no one else would be there at noon. She comes at noon because she doesn't want to be there at the rush hour, where she's going to hear the snide comments and the chuckles and the jeers and the sneers and all that goes in the association with being an outcast and a sinful woman, so to speak. She comes at noon to avoid the ridicule. And we have to understand this third aspect of how she's an outcast. She's an outcast even from amongst the other Samaritan women. So it's no wonder that when Jesus starts engaging her and talking to her, she questioned why it is that Jesus would speak to her. And it's clearly understandable that at the end of the passage, when we hear that the disciples come back and they observe that he's speaking to this woman, they marveled, they were baffled by the fact that he's speaking to this Samaritan woman, and a sinful one at that. Jesus had clearly reached across several cultural boundaries. He had reached across boundaries to claim an outcast for the kingdom of heaven. And in a sense, in this passage, as we read this exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, in a sense, we recognize an image of the gospel message itself. We see the mission of Christ encapsulated in this, in what is taking place here. It's being lived out here in the region of Samaria. This is, in a sense, what Christ ultimately came to do, to reach the sinner, to reach out to the outcast and bring them to the fullness of life in the kingdom of God. And we must recognize that, in a sense, all of humanity is pictured in that woman in this exchange with Jesus, because all of us, in one sense, are an outcast. We all live under the effects of sin and death that are brought to us from Adam and Eve, our former parents. They were outcasts from the paradise. And we all suffer under that reality of being outcasts of paradise. So whether you have known personally the humiliation of being an outcast by being kicked off a team or kicked out of a club or left out of a group or whatever that might be, all humanity has this common experience of being an outcast when it comes to our experience with God. We are outcasts of paradise, and we are separated by God, from God by our sin. Christ came to do something about that very thing. Christ came to bridge the gap between heaven and earth. Christ came to bridge the gap between God and man, to bring we who are aliens, foreigners, far cast off from God, bring us back into close and intimate relationship with God the Father. Christ's ministry was to the lost, to the broken, to the scattered, to the outcast, to bring them back to where they belonged, like the prodigal son in the parable that Jesus tells. Bring them back home where they belong, in the fullness of life in the kingdom of heaven. You see, Christ's ministry, we recognize he says himself of his ministry that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. Christ didn't come for the Samaritans. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. He says it himself. And yet here, we very clearly see the exception to the norm, the scope of Christ's ministry. And that's what one of the other features that is so remarkable about this passage. In this occasion, on this occasion, on this day, Christ steps outside the scope of his normal ministry, and he reaches out to the Samaritans, the outcasts, the heretics. See, we see a prefiguring of the preaching of the gospel. Christ is going to commission his disciples at the ascension to go into all the world and preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and to the surrounding regions and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And by Jesus going into Samaria and sharing the good news with this woman, it's a prefiguring of that event, the gospel going out to all nations, not just to the Jews in Jerusalem. Christ made the exception here by speaking to the Samaritan woman. He made the exception to his ministry. He made the exception to the cultural norms of his day. And Christ reached across those boundaries to the Samaritan woman outcast. And the result is not only her own conversion, because she goes back to the town and she tells the town all about this man who told me everything I've ever done. And the town comes out and hears Christ face to face. And we hear the witness of the town in the final verse of the gospel passage today. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. See, not just the Savior of Israel. Yes, he came for the lost sheep of Israel. But he's not just the Savior of Israel. He's the Savior of the world. And the Samaritan town comes to know that. Perhaps you've experienced the unique pain of that Saint Fotini experienced in her life, being alienated from a group in some way or another. Recognize, Christ comes to reach the outcast. Christ comes to reach across the boundaries that separate you from whatever you might feel separated from. Christ reaches across those boundaries into our life, into the midst of our pain, to meet us there, and to bring us back to the place where we belong, to fullness of life in the kingdom of God, to fullness of a relationship with God the Father. See, in this exchange, we see the heart of God toward us. In this exchange, we see the great mercy of God at work. We see the awesome love of God reaching out to the sinner. We see the gospel itself displayed before our very eyes, reaching out to this lost, outcast sinner. In this exchange with the Samaritan woman, we see Christ's work in all of our lives. You see, there is no boundary that Christ cannot reach across. There is no separation too great for Christ's redemptive work. Christ has come to rescue all of us, outcast sinners, to restore us to that close, intimate relationship with God the Father, to invite us to the fullness of life in the kingdom of God. Christ, the Savior of the world, has come to bring us to the fullness of resurrection life in him. This is the good news. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And we see it demonstrated before our eyes in this exchange between Christ and Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman. Christ is risen.